The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Preached the new way of living. Why Jesus preached the new way of living? And for our text, we're going to look in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 37 and 38. And it says, "And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says, the old is better." And the video, Joe? All right, why don't you see this video? So, the sermon that I have for you was kind of reminded me as I thought about kicking it off, give me that old-time religion. It's been kind of the battle cry of revival. You know, if we only had things the way they used to be, if we could be like the church in Acts, if we could be like the church my grandmother had, I could be like the church when I was younger, if the church could be just like it was when I first got saved, if things could just be like they were, things would be better. We have somewhat of a mystic memory of the past, and that mystic memory hinders our future. We're looking back for things instead of looking forward. I remember, because I've been part of the movement, it was almost caused cardiac arrest to pry the hymnals out of people's hands. Never give up that hymnal. We know that number 240 is victory in Jesus. It's always been 240. It's been victory in Jesus. And we're not giving that up to be some kind of off-the-wall singer. Put in that music on the wall, all right? We resist change. It's just seems to be our human nature. And in the church, it really, gets even greater. Don't move anything. Don't change anything. I've shared this story before, but it's a great illustration. A fellow came to the seminary, was in there, and he told about his church that he went to pastor. And they had the piano right in front of the pulpit. And he thought, that's a crazy place to put a piano. So he was there for his first week, and he got out there. It had wheels on it, so he just rolled that baby over to the side. Well, when church services started Sunday morning, it was a disaster. Every deacon and every person in the church went up, "Who moved our piano?" Well, he said, "Well, I moved it." He didn't last a week. They fired him. That's a true story. He said, many years later, a fellow minister of his called and asked him to come preach at his church. And he said, "Well, you're preaching." He named the church. And he said, "Well, you know, I was a pastor of that church for less than a week." And he said, "Is the piano still in the middle of the church in front of the pulpit?" He said, "No, I moved it." He said, "You moved it? And they let you move it without firing you?" He said, "It was easy. I moved it an inch at a time." Just an inch at a time. And sometimes when we talk about change, you know, it's just an inch at a time. We tend to resist things. We resist technology. We were having a discussion the other day with a couple of folks, and I'm not opposing things, but it's just interesting. You know, maybe we ought, you know, we're not using our Bibles enough in church. And I think that's true. You know, we're getting so technologically oriented that if I mention a scripture, Jim can have it up there, you know, in a New York instant. And we see it on the screen, and I use these overhead things all the time. But it's human nature. We seem to resist technology. We seem to resist change. And Jesus had the same problem. In fact, it was even bigger for him. It's kind of, you either do the status quo or it's heave-ho. You know, that's the way they were treating Jesus. And so today I want to talk about why Jesus preached a new way of living. Why it was important. First thing is that Christianity is a new dynamic. It's a new dynamic, something that is fluid and something that is moving. And let's go back and look at 5:37 again. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be removed. I should have said, if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to the book of Luke. But since we have it on the screen, I just let you cheat and just read it off the screen, all right? The obvious results of making wine is that it changes and that it affects the container that holds it. Now, if you know anything about fermentation and the way wine is made, when you put the right ingredients together, it starts churning. It starts moving. The fermentation process begins. Jesus was under fire for not following traditions. He was stirring the pot. He was the new wine that was starting the revolution of change. Things needed to change. The old ways didn't work. You might say, well, how do you know that they didn't work? Well, I know they didn't work because Jesus brought in a new way. So something about the old way wasn't working, so he brought in something new. The old ways of thinking is we do what was passed down. We follow the traditions. So those traditions, there's a great song in a movie, Fiddler on the Roof. Some of you might remember that. Where he was, had these traditions. And he says, tradition, tradition, we must always do it the same way. Then his daughter just was not following tradition. Any of you who raised a daughter will know that your daughters don't follow tradition. Neither do your sons. Neither did you. You know, we all wanted to change it in some way, shape, or form. But the things that are passed down just were not working. The sacrificial system, they had it for eons and eons and eons. If you were going into Jerusalem at that time, the temple overshadowed the entire city. The fragrance of burning animal flesh would have permeated the city. There was always sacrifices going on. You were required to bring sacrifices to the temple. There are rules and regulations. You must do it this way. You can't do it another kind of way. It must be done this way. That's the way we've always done it. Do it this way. Do it this way. Do it this way. They had the rules that were given by Moses, and then just to make things a little bit more complicated, they added rules to that. You know, the Sabbath said you could only do so much work, and they added to it. In fact, when I was in seminary, they literally had volumes of things that the Jews wrote that you could or couldn't do on the Sabbath. You could only carry so many sticks so far. You could only take so many steps. You could only do so many things. I saw a cartoon years ago. It was a traditional Jewish man dressed in black Jewish garb with his Jewish beard. And he had his little boy dressed in black Jewish garb and a little Jewish boy hat on, and it was obvious the older man was a rabbi, and he had the little boy, and he had his hands over the little boy's eyes because there was a plane flying over the sky. He didn't want him to see something moving that far on the Sabbath. You know, breaking the Sabbath, following these rules and regulations. They had buildings, things focused at the building. You had to be at the temple. You had to be at the synagogue. You had to be there for anything to happen. That was the old way of doing things. But the new dynamic was living. It's like fermented wine. There are no more sacrifices. People today are anxious for the sacrificial system to begin again in Jerusalem, so that, you know, it'll usher in the end time. Don't be surprised if that doesn't happen, all right? I'm not looking for any sacrificial system. The only sacrifice I'm interested in is the one that Jesus did. They don't need any more. There's some denominations that believe that when they receive communion, that Christ is crucified afresh each time they receive communion. There's a sacrifice. In fact, they call their religious Sunday meetings and weekly meetings, they call it the sacrifice of the Mass. It's sacrifice. They're sacrifice to continue that way. One thing about Christianity is no rules. I know that bothers you. That really bothers a lot of you. You've come from denominations where you had all kinds of rules, and you show up here and you find out we don't have any rules. Hurrah! Yahoo! Amen! You don't like it. You want me to give you some rules. You want to be a member. You want me to, you know, the churches I belong to, when you became a member, we had a list of things. You had a sign, the things that you would agree to do and not do. You know, you had ladies, you had to wear a dress a certain way. You know, you had a tithe and kept track of it to make sure you tithed. And if you didn't tithe, they took your name out of the, wasn't the book of life, it was just the book of membership, you know. You had to do certain things. You had to attend so many services. You missed so many services in a row, you got removed. You know, rules and regulations, how you can do things and the way things should be. We don't have very many rules around here. We don't even have any membership. It's always the big joke around here. If you ever get in trouble, and I'm going to have to throw you out. But first of all, I got to vote you in so I can throw you out. You know, so we don't have any membership. It drives some of you crazy that I don't pass the basket around here. You want that basket coming? Why, we've always passed the basket. I've had every preacher I've ever known, when he finds out what I'm doing around, he says, well, you know, you've got to pass that basket. You know, you just got to. I said, well, as soon as God tells me to do it, I'll pass it. In the meanwhile, it's just a box on the back wall. I mean, I gave in a little bit by even putting a sign over it so you know what it was. I wasn't even crazy about doing that. You know, Christianity doesn't have those kinds of rules. Looking for buildings. You know, our building is this storefront church with the outside that makes people remember what used to be here. The old barbecue joint. We're planning on doing something about that, by the way. We've been here for about 5 or 6 years. You think we ought to do something about it, all right? Get rid of that log cabin look on the outside. But there is no building. If you're looking for the temple, just get in the mirror. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're living stones. Now, you know, when wine ferments, it expands just like the Holy Spirit. He's in constant motion. You ever heard that expression? You can't put God in a box? Oh, you can't. And some of you have Him in a box. You've got Him built around what you think He ought to be. You know the problem with that is? That your God may not look like my God. I might have a bigger box than you, or a smaller box. You know? You might, you know, your God might do certain things, and my God might do different things. You know, when you start building God and trying to put Him into what you think He should be, you better get over that. He's not what you think He should be. He's what He is. Amen. Not what you want Him to be. And He does things very sovereignly. That's what got everybody so upset from the time God started moving in the affairs of men. They didn't like it. They don't like that moving and that constant motion. We want things to be the way they should be. Our message doesn't change, but our methods do. They need to change. They need to constantly be in change. I heard someone say that on TV this morning talking about that. He said that, when the gospel first went out, it went out a certain way. You know, they went where they were going, and they got on their sandals, and they walked to wherever they were going. You know, Jesus didn't have any iPod. He didn't have any iTouch. Isn't that terrible, Jim? No computers, none of that stuff. And He just did that. And you know what I thought? If He had one, He'd have used it. If He had it, He'd have used it. You think Paul liked that long journey on leaky ships that crashed and burned in bad weather? Man, if he'd have had a 747, he'd have been on that puppy. He'd have been flying around the world. He'd have been going. Things change. And in the church, we need to be willing for things to change. If you don't like change, you're probably not going to like it around here. You know? We don't have any great traditions. The only tradition we got is the cross. Amen. You know, that's the tradition that we're going to keep. Amen. But the other things change, and the church is a dynamic. It doesn't stay still. And if you're staying still, there's something wrong with you. You need to examine yourself. Are you growing in the Lord? If you think, I had a pastor tell me one time, he had finally reached a place that he didn't sin anymore. He committed sin right there. You know, he had reached that level. He had finally reached that level. Well, if you've leveled out, I've got news for you. You're tipping down.
Right.
You know, there's no leveling place. There's no level ground in the kingdom. You know, it's a thing that should be moving, and we should be moving in our lives. You notice that computer is moving right now. It just decided to short circuit itself. But you know,
Jim forgot to plug it in.
See, it needs that dynamic of electricity, all right, to make it work. But things, don't be afraid of change. The gospel is all about change. That's why we named this place. We didn't call this Old Stay Put. What's the name of this church? New Beginnings. And you notice it's plural.
Amen.
Not a new beginning, it's new beginnings. More than one.
Yeah.
Starting over again. You can start fresh. You know, this is a great church where you can come in and start all over again. As it says on the wall, come home, all is forgiven. Everything's forgiven. So, well, you don't know where I've been and you don't know what I've done. I don't care. Go tell it to God. If you're a believer, go tell God where you've been and what you've done wrong. You know what He'll say? What? Jesus, you got any books on that? Any remembrance books on these people? They don't have any remembrance of that. It's blotted out. It's removed. It's dynamic. Our Christian walk and our Christian life is dynamic in that it's constantly in motion. Second thing I want to bring to your attention is the old traditions become worthless. Just look in your bulletins if you can't see it on the overhead. Don't get nervous about that. No, it's in the bulletins, you know. Our old traditions become worthless. Verse 38 says, no new wine must be poured. No, he says, no new wine must be poured into new wineskins. We should respect our traditions, but we shouldn't worship our traditions. All right? We should respect them, but not worship them. Jesus got in trouble with this very issue. What? Your disciples are doing this on the Sabbath? On the Sabbath? We're not allowed to do that. And Jesus said, don't you know that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath? Things changed. Well, they're picking grain in the field on the Sabbath. They're not allowed to do that. They said, well, even David went into the temple and had to show bread.
That's right.
The Scriptures. Jesus said about the Scriptures, you look in those Scriptures because you think that they have life. He said, I tell you that they speak of me. I'm not against the Bible, and neither was Jesus. But it's telling us about the living Christ. I know this sounds like heresy, but that's the problem when we make things into deity. Thank God we have these printed books. Do you know that Paul didn't have one of these? And he still went over the whole known world of his day? You know, there were centuries before anybody had one of these things called the Bible. They didn't have them. We're fortunate that we have it. But we don't worship this book. We worship the creator of this book.
Amen.
The author of this book. The one who penned it and preserved it so you and I could have it. But we don't reverence it. You know, that's one of the things that they do in Islam, is they worship the book. You can't say anything bad about it. You can't touch it. You can't question it. You can't investigate it. We're told to investigate, study, show yourself approved, look at it, study it, take it apart, jot and tittle, and you'll see that it'll stand the test of time. It'll stand your scrutiny. That's what the scriptures are for. Old wine in wineskins eventually becomes rancid. Now, I guess it's only fair, I'm assuming you know this, but just in case you hadn't figured it out yet, they didn't have wine bottles like you and I have wine bottles today. They used wine skins. They took skins and they sewed them up. And they were tanned, but they sewed them up. And they put an end where they could put a cork or something that they could pour out of it. But it was the wine didn't stay like it does today. You know, they put this cork in these bottles and they keep it for 100 years and they sell it for $1 million and somebody drinks it, you know, one day when they're brave enough to pop the cork on it, you know, and it's still good. But that wasn't the case in those days, and that's the illustration we're dealing with right here, is that the old wine and the skins eventually will become rancid. There's something wrong with an old wine and an old wineskin. See, the wineskin itself was flawed. It had a flaw in it. Now, the good news is that we are a new wineskin that is flawless. And that the wine that is in us is the wine of the Holy Spirit. But it's absolutely perfect. But again, Jesus was dealing with traditions that needed to be broken. He said, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. In other words, you can't keep doing things the way you've been doing them because it's not working. Amen. The wine is not good. The wine holder is not good, and there needs to be a change. It's a new covenant. Jesus held up that wine at the Last Supper and said, this is a new covenant. This is a new way of doing things. This is a change. It's rubbing the cat the wrong way. Nobody likes that cat. I don't own a cat, but I used to. Don't rub that cat the wrong way. They don't like it. Folks in Jesus, they didn't like it. When this particular thing that we're talking about here is, they were criticizing Jesus. How come your men aren't fasting like everybody else? And Jesus is trying to explain to them. I love the way he talked to the people who were criticizing him. He always had something to tell them that made them walk away scratching their head. He said, you can't put new material on an old garment. It just won't work. You can't put new wine into an old wineskin. It just won't work. There's something new that's going on here. And this is a new covenant. This is a new gospel. This is a new way of thinking. It's a new dynamic. It's changing. Things are changing. They didn't want change. They wanted the status quo, the way things had always been. You can't mix the old and the new. You are a product, most of you, of that very issue. The glorious gospel of grace has been mixed in with the Old Testament law and created a new religious way of living that was never intended by the gospel, by the New Testament. And that's why you get confused sometimes. Have you heard this message? If you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You'll be born again. Not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit of God. And you said, man, that's for me. That's what I want to have. That's what I need to have. And you get in, you know, you get involved and you get in church. And then as soon as you mess up, somebody comes to you and says, excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me, sir. You smoking them cigarettes? You're going to hell. So wait a minute. I thought I got saved. Well, you did, but you breaking the rules. I like what Bob Harrison used to say. He said, smoking won't send you to hell. It'll just make you smell like you've been there. That was funny, the way you said that. You know, we look for all the rules and regulations. Why, if you don't tie, would a man rob God? You have robbed me. Oh, yeah? Which one of you big enough here to take something out of God's hand? Which one of you big enough to rob God? I want to see you stand up right now. You're going to rob God. Old Testament thinking. It always amazes me when I start talking about the subject, about tithing. But most people don't tithe. But if you tell them they don't have to tithe, then they get mad at you because you're supposed to tithe. That blows my mind, Kathy. That really does. I get confused. I get confused very easily. You've noticed that about me, haven't you? I get confused about things like that. Well, I've never tithed, but I want to tithe. And if I don't tithe, then help. You get confused, don't you? You get all these mixed messages about what you're supposed to do and not supposed to do. Isn't it funny? Don't you think that's funny? I think that's funny. I think that's hilarious. We want to follow these rules. You know why we want to follow rules? Because if we can follow some rule, then we can some way earn our way to God. Earn our way. We can get some kind of points with God. No points with God. It's not on a point system. It's not grading on its curve. The only point you got to get is, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's it. Now the rest of it's just stuff we get to do. You get to give. I was just reading the book of Acts this week and started reading back through that again. And I just love this story. It says that people needed some money, they had things in common. And this one couple, Ananias and Sapphira, decided that they were going to sell their land and they were going to take the proceeds and they brought it to Peter. And that's very interesting to me when Ananias got there, said he brought it and he laid it at Peter's feet. And Peter said, well, did you get such and such for that land? And he just lied. He said, yeah. And the Holy Spirit told Peter he was lying. The man keeled over dead. Whoa. You want to live in that church? Huh? You want things to go that way? Just want to bring your tithes in the church and bring them and put them at my feet? Let's see if you really tithe them or not. We might have some funerals around here. And then his dear wife shows up. Hey, honey. Hey, Sapphira, how you doing, girl? Did your husband sell that land for that amount of money? Like, yeah. He said, you see that? You hear that sound? That's the feet of the same guy who just buried your husband. He's going to bury you. And she was dead. Well, don't you think that's a little scary? That's a little scary. But what we do is we kind of mix things up. We get things kind of convoluted, Well, then that must mean that I must sell all my land and bring it and give all the money to Brother St. Angelo. Amen. Bring it to me. That's not the point. The point isn't that they were given or not given. The point is that they were lying about it. And if I guess the Holy Spirit was trying to teach us something, how important it is for us not to live that way. A little sign back there says not to give grudgingly or out of necessity, but give out of a cheerful heart. That word cheerful is the same word we get our English word hilarious from. You ought to be laughing about it. You ought to think it's funny. There's a church down in Florida many years ago that when they passed the basket, which they did, that pastor was more weird than I am. He said, when the basket comes by, if you got money to give, put it in. If you need something, take it out. And I knew somebody used to go to that church and said the basket would come by. So they have Rolex watches and diamond rings in the baskets when they went by. Liberating people, setting people free. There are no rules. Looking for rules? If you're looking for rules, you have to go to someplace else because there aren't any in Christendom. There's so few. Listen, when Paul was first getting things done and he went back to Jerusalem and tell them about what they were doing to the Gentile churches, and he said, am I right on this, guys? Am I okay with this? You're the church fathers. Would you tell me if I'm all right? And when they got finished, he said, look, don't eat meat offered to sacrifice, offered to idols. It's not a good thing to do. So if you want to rule, I would recommend that you don't do that. If somebody's sacrificing some meat to an idol, I wouldn't eat it. I think that would be a foolish thing to do. And I gave up one of my treasures of my life. I don't eat any more of that good pastry from St. Joseph Altar's anymore. And I'm a good Italian boy, and I used to love to do that. And I just don't do it. I said, nah, it's not meat, but I just don't feel comfortable eating it anymore. So I gave that up. I didn't give it up to get points with God. I just didn't think it's a good thing to do. He said, oh, by the way, remember the poor. You know, do that, you'll be all right. You know, just do that. Well, there's a couple of rules you can follow if you want to follow those rules. Remember the poor, all right? And don't eat meat offered idols. But, I mean, if you want to keep the law, if you want to go and keep all of that, then you got some real serious problems because you have to keep it all. You can't pick and choose what you want to do. There's this dynamic, this freedom. Jesus came to set us free, that we might be set free. The law was came along to show us how pitiful we really are. And He came to set us free from that. So that we could live in this new way of living. The Spirit of God dwelling in us. Doing right because that's what we want to do. Giving because we want to give. Going because we want to go. Helping because we want to help. Avoiding sin because we don't want to do that. I don't want to go back to that what I used to be. I don't want to do those things anymore. It's in my heart not to do it. That's the difference. That's Christianity. That's what it's all about. It's a living relationship. It's a living relationship with our Creator and our Lord and our God. But Jesus got in a lot of trouble because of that. We need purpose. And we need harmony. Working with God and the kingdom. Working together with the Spirit of God. We are new wine in new wineskins. Moving in a dynamic way. Coming up with new ideas. New ways of doing things. We do a lot of stuff you can't find in the Bible. And that's the way it ought to be. We do things. What if we had a law that says that you must press fire in church in order to really serve God? Turn off the air conditioners. We had some kind of silly rule like that. Well, that's about what they had done. They just made up a bunch of silly rules. It had nothing to do with God. Wear your hair a certain way. Make sure that your sleeves were down to your wrists and your dresses were down to your ankles. Well, why not just put a thing over your head? Why not wear a veil in front of your face? Why not make it black? You know what I'm talking about. If you're going to build rules, you see what happens when you start building those kinds of rules? The new dynamic whereby His Spirit is in us would affect the world. The old way, the world had to come to the temple and people were excluded. You wanted to find God? You had to go to the temple. You had to go there. That's where God was. In the new dynamic, we go to the world and everyone's included. We don't exclude anyone. Not because of color, not because of race, not because of origin, not because of anything. Everyone is included in the kingdom. You want to get in? Come on in. Isn't that better? You ought to be thankful because most of you, there's not a Jewish drop of blood in the whole bunch. If that wasn't true, you wouldn't be in. Remember what happened with Peter? Peter got in a lot of trouble for going to see an Italian guy. You didn't know there was an Italian guy. There's an Italian band leader in the Bible. Remember Cornelius, the leader of the Italian band. And he went to his house, stayed at his house, ate with him. When he got back, they got on his case. What do you mean doing that? And he said, the Lord gave me a vision. This thing came out of heaven. It was like a sheet and had all kinds of unclean animals. I said, Lord, I'd never eat that. I'd never eat that. And the Lord says, what I've called clean, don't you call unclean. He said, when I went to Cornelius' house and I told them about the gospel, he said, while I was speaking, he couldn't even finish his sermon. He said, the Holy Spirit fell on them. They all began to speak in other tongues. God began to move. And they said, this must be true. This must be God. This must be something new. This is something different that's going on. And that difference turned the whole world upside down and allowed you and me to get in. It became inclusive. In the old way, Israel was to avoid the unclean. You know who the unclean were? Anybody who wasn't born of Abraham. They were the unclean. In the new way, the church embraces the unclean. And we pour all in wine into their lives. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. The cross is for all to come and to be redeemed and to be changed and to be cleansed and to be made new. New wine. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it does. That's why we can go to anyone and bring this new life. The old way didn't do that. People were excluded. It was a club. It was an exclusive club. That's what's nice when people come here. We don't even know what your denomination is. I don't know, some of I got a feeling I know some of you came from. I'm not real sure. But I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. You know, that I used to belong to a denomination that people who were baptized by immersion, if they wanted to get in that church, had to be baptized in immersion again. Because that church that I belonged to was the only true church that could trace its lineage all the way back to John the Baptist. They could do that. Can you believe that? They did. I was the most cockamamie thing I'd ever heard. I was a new Christian. They were doing that. Listen, you tell me you were born again believer, you got baptized, that's good enough for me. The old was like Moses, who had a veil over his face and was fading away. It was fading away. The new is growing day by day and prospering day by day. The church is prospering. Lives are being changed day by day. Growing. Isn't that good news? I know sometimes we're listening to the news and we're hearing all the things that are going on. And even this morning when I told you about some of the statistics about some of the churches that are decreasing. But did you know that there are revivals going on in our nation, in the world? In China, in Brazil, and other places where the gospel is being poured out. People are being liberated and finding out about God. And you know what? They're not having church services like us. They're doing things different than us. And that's okay. There's only one God and one Lord. It doesn't matter how you worship Him. It only matters that you do worship Him. If you want to dance, dance. If you want to sing, sing. If you want to jump, jump. If you want to be still, be still. We're not the worship police. We don't tell people how to worship. We just give them the opportunity to worship the way you feel comfortable in your relationship with the Lord. Last thing I want to talk to you about is Christianity creates new life. Verse 39. Oh, we got the overhead working again. Oh, I'm so glad. I just didn't know whether this sermon would work without the overhead. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says the old is better. It took me a little while to think my way through that. And when I finally realized what he was saying, is that some people want the old wine because it's better than the new wine. In other words, I don't want to change. I want things to be like they were. We cling to the old, unfruitful ways when Christ has offered us a new way. The best. You are so fortunate, and I am so fortunate to be in a church that preaches grace. Amen. Without beating you up and putting you under condemnation, making you walk out of this place feeling like a worthless bum. In Christ, He has changed us and made us fruitful in the kingdom of God. People want to embrace the old way, embrace the Old Testament. They want to embrace the law. And I know I beat that drum over and over and over again, but sometimes I don't think everybody gets it. Being liberated and set free. Now to experiment and try some new things. Doug White was talking about that. Try something new. Try sitting on the other side of the church for a change. There's something different. It's okay. Well, don't get mad at me, all right? But it's okay when we serve communion to drink wine and not grape juice. And it's okay to drink the grape juice and not the wine. It's okay. Some people get upset with me about that. Say, well, y'all serving wine in that church. Well, yeah, we are. That's not my problem. My problem is that we're serving grape juice. That's my problem. You know, that I'm not consistent. I admit to my own inconsistencies. That I'll allow you to have grape juice. Because if you want that old-time religion, honey, and you want to do things the way the early church used to do it, you better be drinking wine at communion or you're not going to have any. That's what they had. That's why I believe we ought to do it in the church today. But I give in on that issue and give both so that nobody get mad at me. The last thing I need is somebody be mad at me. I mean, there's some reasons to get mad at me, but that's not one of them, okay? I got some other things that you should be mad at me about. I'm not going to tell you. But that's one of them. That's not one of them. It's okay. It's okay. I used to belong to a denomination that spoke of total abstinence and didn't drink. And I was an elder and an assistant, as a young adults pastor at the church. And they didn't drink, and I didn't drink. I remember one time I went to a business trip up in Seattle, and it's when I had my computer company, and I was with a bunch of executives, and we'd had a big business meeting, and we were selling them a big computer system for their hotel in Alaska. And when we were finished, we had a hard day. They said, let's go down to the hotel. I was staying in a real plush hotel that they were paying for. They said, let's go down to the lounge over there and let's have a drink and finish off the day. And I thought, oh my. You know, I don't drink. You know, the church I belong to doesn't drink. And, well, I'm going to be in trouble. So we sat down. There were about six of us. We sat at the table in the lounge. And the waitress came up to the first guy and she said, what would you like to drink? And he said, I'd like to, and he named something I had never heard of before. And so it was something like Old Dudes or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was. Yeah. And I said, what is that? And he said, oh, it's a non-alcoholic beer. He said, I'm an alcoholic, and so I just drink non-alcoholic beer. I said, oh, okay. So it got to the next, the waitress goes to the next guy. I said, would you like? He said, oh, I'll have one of those Old Duels too. He said, and he had heard the conversation. He said, I'm a recovering alcoholic. He said, I don't drink any, so I'll have one of these non-alcoholic beer. And I'm telling you, God's truth. It went around the whole table. It got to me. All these guys, all alcoholics, were drinking the Old Duels beer. And it got to me, and it said, I said, I've been on the wagon about 10 years myself. Give me one of those things. I fit right in with the crowd, you know. They never knew. The only thing was bad, I thought, oh my goodness, if my senior pastor walks in and sees me sitting there drinking a beer, because he don't know what Old Duels is either, you know, I'm going to be banished out of the church for doing it. That's why when I started New Beginnings Church, we don't have those kind of prohibitions. I have prohibitions of getting drunk, but I don't have prohibitions against alcohol. I think there's plenty of good reasons not to drink distilled whiskey, but if you want to drink wine, that's fine. I like a glass of wine occasionally myself. You want to drink a beer, it's okay with me. I wouldn't drink that stuff. It tastes nasty, but if you get drunk, I'm on your case. Holy Spirit's on your case. That's the problem. Don't worry about me. But Jesus came to set us free. Old regulations. Do not touch. Do not taste. The New Testament talks about that. It says your regulations, do not touch, do not taste. An old man burdened down with sins, under total condemnation. Wouldn't you like to wake up one morning and not be condemned? Wouldn't you like to wake up in the morning and for Romans 8:1 to come alive in your life? There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And you would finally wake up and say, I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm not condemned anymore. And live that way. Wouldn't it be a great feeling? I remember the day I got saved and all just such a marvelous thing. I was so burdened out with sin and the foolishness of my life. And I remember kneeling down in Jim Hickman's house And I didn't even know how to pray. I knew how to cry, so I just cried. And then he led me in a prayer because he knew I didn't know how to pray. It was obvious I didn't know how to pray. And I felt this weight lifted off of me. This burden just removed from me. And I remember standing up and it felt like the middle of my lower legs had disappeared. All the burdens that I had been carrying, all the sin had been moved, removed. I didn't even know about the gospel of grace. I didn't even know there was a gospel. I didn't know nothing but a couple of scriptures that somebody that I'll be teaching you in a couple of weeks, next week, about, you know, all the sin and falling short of the glory of God, you know, and the, what we call the Roman road. I didn't even know that, except that he had told me about it. And that old weight, that old burden removed. That's what I was living under. I was living under the old way, the old testimonies, the old law, the old way of doing things. I wasn't even a Jew and I was living under the law. Go figure that. But think about it. Once I heard a guy, Joseph Prince, I was reading his book called Destined to Reign, and he said, don't leave your brains at home when you go to church. You know, just think about some things. If we were living like the Old Testament, they wouldn't let you in, buddy. You couldn't even get in. And if you were... No, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. They had a way to get in, but it wasn't very pretty. The New Testament refers to new garments of righteousness. I went through, because I use a computer, and it's a lot easier for me to do this. There were over, close to 200 references to new things in the New Testament. And I just capsulized a few of them for it. Talked about new garments. Talked about new wine. Talked about a new birth. Talked about a new covenant. Things that are new. Don't you like new things? Don't you like new clothes? Don't you like new cars? Don't you like new houses? Don't you like new hairdos? Don't you like new things? I do. New computer. I can't wait for the next advent of a new computer. I get so mad I'll buy them, and 6 months later the thing's obsolete. You got something new. I want something new. Don't you like new things? The New Testament's filled with new things for your life. To live in the new way. When you wake up and see yourself, you ought to see yourself dressed in a new garment of praise. A new garment of righteousness. Without spot. I heard a guy say, you know, God's coming back for a church without the spot or wrinkle. And you know, you got to get your act right. I thought, I can't get the wrinkles out. I can't get the spots out. You know, you're looking for that kind of church, you're not going to find it. The only way you find it is the righteousness of Christ. He puts the new garment on you. He removes the spots. He takes out the wrinkles. Nothing you can do. You can't... I know most of you well enough to know this. You're having trouble keeping yourself right. You're having trouble. You keep stumbling and falling. If it wasn't for grace, you'd be on the way to hell. What'd you say? Two or three times. A day. It's a glorious... Oh, beloved, it's so awesome if you understand it and grasp it and choose to believe it. What Christ has done for us, in us, through us, this new covenant, this new dynamic, this new way of living, not burdened down under heavy loads. Jesus told the guys, he said, you are not only not going into heaven, you put heavy weights on people so that they can't get in either. Strain at little things and swallow giant false lies. The freedom that we have in Christ. The liberty to do right. The power to avoid wrong. This new thing. I got another command. You want a commandment? I got one for you. Jesus gave us a commandment. Everybody wants to obey the command. Here is the commandment. You know what? Remember what it is? Love one another as I have loved you. Woo! How many of you keeping that one? Raise your hands. Liars, put your hands back down. You're not doing that. Don't you lie to me. Don't you lie to God. You want some funerals in this place? You lie to the Holy Ghost? You know you don't do that all the time. Yeah, I know you're trying. I'm trying. I'm trying to love some of you. I know you're trying to love me. I know you are. I know it's not easy sometimes. I know I rub you fur the wrong way, and sometimes you rub my fur the wrong way. But that's okay. You know why? Because if you're really loving, you're loving like it says in the book of Corinthians, when Paul wrote it out for us, where we don't keep track of wrongs. Just let it go. Let it go. Not that important. You know? We're not jealous. We're not puffed up. We're patient. We're caring. We're kind. Loving one another. That's a commandment we can keep. A new way of living. We're new creations in Christ. We're a new man, new women. A new way of living, a new heaven and a new earth. We have a new name. There's a new name written down in glory, as that old song used to say. And it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. There's a new song in our heart. There'll be a new Jerusalem. You know, the book of Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 says there'll be a new everything. Everything will be new. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? No wonder Jesus came preaching a new way of living. I think the word that capsulizes the best is when Paul said, in Christ, everything becomes new. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's who we are in Christ. That's the gospel that Jesus came preaching and proclaiming. That's the gospel they killed him for. That's the gospel they crucified him for. That's the gospel that he shed his blood for. That's the gospel that we commemorated when we took communion this morning for what he did for us. Let's not go back to the old ways of doing things, but let us move forward to new ways of doing things. A new way of living that's in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me preach myself happy again. Man. And when I think about it, I'll tell you, just me to you guys. You know, we're all friends around here. And those of you who knew, y'all want you to be my friend. I mean, I get excited about it. I'm sorry. I just really do. I just think, when I know who I am and what I've done wrong in my life and the failings that I've made and the things that I could be condemned for, but to realize that Jesus took that upon himself, that I could be set free. That's awesome to me. I just can't get over it. I just can't get over it. I'm still a baby talk. I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on salvation. I know some of you are way ahead of me, but that's where I'm stuck, you know. I can't get past what Jesus has done for me. It's everything. It's everything. I just don't, you know. You guys can go figure out the second coming. You can figure out, you know, all that. You can do all that. But me, I'm just stuck there, you know. And actually, I kind of like it. You know, I'm enjoying it. I enjoy that. And I want you to enjoy it, too. I want you to have that liberty and that freedom. I want you to, so when you wake up in the morning, you won't be feeling bad about yourself. When you do something wrong, you say, oh, God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. You know I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean it. And he said, I know. Come on, it's all forgiven. Come on, it's all right. That's your gospel. That's your friend. That's your Savior. That's your Lord. That's who cares about you. Amen. Father, I just thank you. Lord, if I had the voice of 1,000 angels, if I had the wisdom of Solomon, Lord, if I had the words of every language known across the earth, Lord, I wouldn't be enough to say thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. Thank you, Father. Let this gospel that you've given to us, this new covenant, let it really set us free that we might serve you in truth. We realize that we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We don't do good works to get created in Christ Jesus. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good things. Help us to do the things that you call us to do, Father. Watch over us this day. Let us have a glorious day in your presence with one another. And give us somebody who needs to hear this good news this week that we can share the gospel with them. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, we do have some traditions. And it is the first Sunday of the month. And some of you were fortunate enough to have been born in this great month. What month is this? June? June.